morning. The reading today is John 3:16-17. Actually, I don't know what page it is in the Bible.
Don't worry.
Okay. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Saviour. Here ends the reading. May God bless the reading of his word. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Long weekend, I guess. I guess everyone having fun is gone, huh? So I guess you have to put up with me, unfortunately. For my weekly hockey update, my team is horrible, as always. We've had more five-game losing streaks this season than two-game winning streaks. That's how bad we're doing. Worst season in the entire history of the team. Kind of a downer. Meanwhile, Team Canada looking good for the Olympics, so I'm happy about that. The last sort of 10 days have been kind of a whirlwind for me, kind of one of these, one of those, like, you know, if there was a scene in a movie, you know, have you ever watched those movies where something like really big happens in someone's life, and then they do this kind of montage where there's like music, like, you know, in Rocky or something, right? There's music going and it cuts to all these scenes, and Rocky's drinking the raw eggs and, you know, picking up chickens, and then he gets hit in the face with a log, right? But then he gets up and there's this music going on and it's all amazing and you're watching and you're like, wow, what's, and you just see him going through all these struggles and all these things and then the scene ends and it comes to the third act and you're going, man, what is he going to do now? What's going to happen? This is that moment. What's going to happen? So I'm going to pray for the sermon, and then we're at the end of the montage, we'll begin. So I'll pray, and then we'll begin. Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Thank you for the Gospel of John. And I pray that you would guide this message, you guide this time, and I just thank you so much for the opportunity you've given me to preach your word and the opportunity to be at this church. In your name we pray, amen. I believe in equality. Anyone believe in equality? Anyone? Can I get it? This is going to be more interactive. Anyone? Amen? Anyone? A hand? A head gesture? Yeah. I believe in standing for what is right, not what is easy. Right? I believe in hope. I believe in joy. Anyone else? You know, I believe in joy. And I believe the gospel is what makes all that possible. What do you believe in? That's the key question today. What do you believe in? I'm pretty sure I've told this story because it's a very proud moment in my life, but I remember one time when I was in the military, and there was this soldier who came in. I was working full-time in the summer, and this soldier came in kind of midway, and he didn't know what he was doing. Like, really didn't know what he was doing. And he kind of had, now that's fine, but he also kind of had this arrogant complex about him. And so he didn't know what he was doing, but he thought he knew what he was doing. And a lot of people didn't like him. And he wasn't your normal army type either. He was small, like me. He was skinny, like me. All that sort of stuff. And people just ripped into him all the time. It wasn't just like during actual working hours where they would say, you're doing it wrong. They would just rip into this guy. They would call him worthless, stupid, that he should go blow himself up. He was an engineer. That's what they do. They blow things up. All sorts of, but of course, attach all sorts of army expletives, colorful language to what they were saying to him. And they were constantly just destroying him. And at first, I kind of liked it. And you know why? Because before he came, I was the guy they were stepping on. Because I'm a small, thin, not really army type person. But they were just eating into this guy. And finally, I really started to think, what? Should I just let this go on? Is that really what I should be doing? As much as I enjoy him getting reamed on and not me, is that really the right thing to do in this situation? And so one day, when they were reaming right into him, I said, stop it, guys. Stop it. If you're going to pick on someone, pick on me. But I don't know what I said. It probably was dumb, but it was something like that. And I stood my ground, and I went like right in between them and him, and that's what I said. And they kind of just looked at me, said a few choice words, and then they stopped. And then they stopped bugging him. And they stopped bugging me too, surprisingly enough. And it's one of my proudest moments. Not necessarily because of the result, but because I actually stood up for what I believed in. What I believed in. I knew what I believed in, and finally, this was a moment where I had the opportunity to do something right, and I did it. And it felt amazing. It felt amazing. Great moments, right, are born from great opportunity. And that's what I believe this church provides us every day. Those before us chose this spot. They chose it for a reason. They chose it because they believed if they wanted to reach the city of Auckland, this is where they had to be, right here. This is an old church by New Zealand standards. This is a very old church. Not just the building, but the community of believers. And many old churches in New Zealand right now are dying. But not this church. Not today, not tomorrow. Today we have an opportunity. Tomorrow we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to make a difference. Yes? Anyone agree? Amen? And do you know why? Because we can. Because we can. Because we believe in the gospel. You were all born to be difference makers. Every one of you. If you are here today, you are here for a reason, Christian or not. You were here for a reason. Your attendance here today was meant to be. You were meant to be here today. And this is your time. The time of us sitting on our laurels is done. It's over. And I'm just tired of hearing about this problem and that problem and mark this and person that. Forget it. This is our time. Let's go out and get it. Any religion, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, it's 50 years since, it's big. There's a big thing about him right now. Martin Luther King Jr. Said, any religion that professes to be concerned with the souls of men, of humanity, and is not concerned with the slums that damn them, the economic conditions that strangle them, and the social conditions that cripple them is a dry-as-dust religion. And such a religion is the kind that Marxists like to see, an opiate of the people. But we are not that religion. Is anyone with me on this? We are not that religion. That is not the gospel I believe in. I believe in a gospel that has the power to change, to move mountains, to change lives, and to turn the very course of history. You know, the gospel is not demonstrated through a recitation of facts, though facts are very important. If you know me, you know I like my facts. But the gospel that I hold dear, that I believe in, is demonstrated by a faith in the wholehearted acceptance of God's promise for a better world. For we hold that humanity is justified by faith alone, is what the Apostle Paul said. But not just a dead or blind faith, but a living faith. A faith that acts on the promises of God's promise for a better world. And when thinking about this faith, this awesome gospel, your imagination, like a child, should explode with the unrestrained possibilities for adventure. We as Christians support the broken, the poor, the hated, and the ignored because it is right to do so. This is a very Christian trait. To do something for no reason other than it is right, even when no immediate reward for or threat to ourselves is evident. You know, on many occasions, Christians have even gone so far as to bleed and die to bring hope to others. To be fair, we also have made our terrible mistakes. You know, crusades, the anti-Semitism being some of our darkest days, among others. But I believe at this turning point in the history of ACPC, we have a choice to make. It seems to me that more and more we've come to expect less and less from each other, and I think that should change. I believe it's time to take up our cross, to stand with others who oppose injustice, and to confront the dark forces of this world. It is a Christian tradition to stand up for what is principled and just, regardless of whether it is convenient or popular. And in a lot of ways, the people who are here right now at this church were just a bunch of random people who have been thrown together. It's amazing the way the gospel brings together the most interesting and fascinating people together who have stories that would captivate even the hardest of audiences. And all of us are thrown together. We don't initially know each other. It wasn't our choice. But then as we spend more and more time together, something happens. We can go one way or the other. We can fall for the temptation of sin, become bitter, squabble, destroy ourselves on the inside, or we can move into an undiscovered country of a new world, a better world, a world formed by the gospel, together. And do you know what makes this possible? It's because this church believes in the gospel. This church doesn't stand for the lie that life is just what you make it. No. We believe in living life better than we can make it because we believe in a God who demands better. Yes? We live in a world where people are desperate for joy and happiness, especially in the West here. There are people all around us, even in this room, who are so desperate to experience the joy. They claw for it. They're desperate. But in reality, you don't claw for joy. For example, when a person is suffocating, you know, they claw for air. When a person is dying of thirst, they push, they scream, and they run, and they push through. And they have to get to the water. They get down on their knees, they get down on the floor, and they lap it up. And it doesn't matter how dirty it is, because they don't have water. And when you need water that badly, you do anything to get it. When you need air that badly, you do anything to get it. The only real explanation for how strongly, for why in our culture we so desperately want joy and seek happiness, how much we desperately want it, the reason that is because we don't actually have it. But I believe we have the antidote. And why do I believe we have the antidote, the key to true joy? Because we have Jesus. When we get joy, we go through the roof. And when we don't get it, we go down. Why? Because our hearts, our souls have some kind of this implosion, this thing going on inside. And there is something missing. And as a result, there is an appetite for happiness that is never satisfied. And no matter what you put in there, it's never, ever satisfied. Every time you think, this is what's going to make me happy, the next thing you know, it's not enough. And you need to put more in and more in and more in. You're a black hole. Do we know what black holes are? But black holes, you know, the reason they're black is because their gravity is so strong, if they exist, is so strong that the light can't escape. It's so strong that the light can't escape, so you can't see anything. It's not that it's black, it's that you just don't see it. Right? We're black holes. I'm a black hole. But I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ fills up that hole. He is the only light. The only light that can escape and break the evil hold that our inner black holes are capable of. You know, it was when C.S. Lewis realized these truths that he converted. C.S. Lewis, as you know, is a famous British author, apologist. He wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote Mere Christianity, a lot of other things. And at first, he thought that all this that we're doing right now was some sort of psychological trick. He said, when I hear these stories, like Jesus and all this sort of stuff, and they tell me about these deep realities, it's just a trick. You know, Lewis was an atheist, and he was teaching at Oxford. But he was friends with another famous individual named J.R.R. Tolkien. You know J.R.R. Tolkien? He's the author of The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, these sorts of things. And he was a devout Catholic, a strong Christian man. And in 1931, one night, they were strolling on Addison's Walk outside of Magdalen College in England somewhere, and they got into a discussion. And C.S. Lewis said, myths make me feel there's really truth, that there's really goodness, that there's really salvation. It's amazing. But the problem is, myths are lies, though breathed through silver. And then Tolkien said, no, they are not. And what Tolkien said after radically transformed the way Lewis looked at the Christian and at the gospel story. Do you want to know what Tolkien said? Yeah? Yes? Yeah? Okay. Tolkien said along these lines, think about these great stories, you know? Think of Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast tells you there was a grace. Do we all know the story of Beauty and the Beast? Beauty and the Beast, Disney, handsome prince, total loser, gets cursed, becomes an ugly, ugly, ugliness thing that's ugly, right? Basically exemplifying his inner heart. And then this beautiful bell comes and there's a kiss and he transforms, right? At the end. Happy story. Sorry if I ruined it. It's been around for centuries. Okay. Beauty and the Beast tells you there is a grace that comes and can, even when you're ugly, kiss you unmerited and make you lovely. It doesn't kiss you because you're lovely. It kisses you to make you lovely. It kisses you to make you lovely. Or Sleeping Beauty, right? We all know Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty, beautiful beauty, right? Evil Rich doesn't like her. She pricks. She falls asleep. The only way she can wake up is if she's kissed by a handsome prince. And anyway, handsome prince comes, kisses her. She wakes up, kills the dragon. Everyone's happy, right? Sleeping Beauty says there is a handsome prince who, when he shows up, will break bondage. Or Peter Pan, right? You know, Peter Pan. We all know this story. Peter Pan, young guy, doesn't want to grow up. He lives in Neverland. He can fly. He never grows old. Peter Pan. Great story. Probably the most racist Disney movie, but whatever. Okay. Peter Pan says, we were meant to fly. We were meant never to get old. And these stories, they move us. They move us. As children, they blow our minds. My children, they love these stories. And I have to admit that when they're watching them, I want to watch them too. Right? They're still, the university students, they just went to go watch Frozen. Right? We love these stories, these myths. They move us. But here's the thing, Tolkien talking to C.S. Lewis, you know, he's saying, you don't believe in eternal life. You don't believe in a Messiah. You don't believe in a salvation. You don't believe in grace. You don't believe in sin. You don't believe in evil. You don't believe in bewitchment. But what happens? When you hear these stories, they work on you in such a way, they make you sense and resonate with these awesome divine realities. They resonate with us. And Tolkien said, there's one story that's different. The story of Jesus. The story of a poor man who comes to earth and nobody understands him. He seems to be on the way to destruction, but in the end, it turns out, in spite of what everyone has said and what everyone has tried to do, Jesus saves the world. And here's what Tolkien says. The story of the gospel, the story of Jesus, is not one more myth pointing to these divine, awesome realities. But this is the divine, awesome reality to which all myths point. Again, the story of Jesus is not one more myth pointing to these divine, awesome realities. But this is the divine, awesome reality to which all the myths point. This is the one myth that became fact. And that night, Lewis began to realize what Tolkien said. Tolkien said, there is a story you need to believe. Every soul needs to believe. It needs to believe in beauty and in the beast. That there is a love that can kiss you and give itself for you when you're ugly to make you beautiful. There is a story that came true, that really was true, that was actually, literally, was true. You can fly. You won't grow old. You will have eternal life. We desperately want to believe it's true. But Jesus Christ and the story of the gospel is not one more myth pointing to these realities. It is the reality to which all these myths point. And he says, if you believe that, it will inflict a joy in your heart because it's the one story your heart needs to believe. And if you can't believe it, unfortunately, it will put you in despair. But if you do believe, it will give you a joy that will never, ever go out. And Lewis was astounded. And he suddenly realized, this is true. If I believe this story, I'll have a joy. Otherwise, all I'll do is get around the edges of it with these other stories. If you're a Christian and you believe the gospel, when a little kid comes up and says, I wish there was a Superman. If you weren't a Christian, you'd say, yeah, me too. But if you are a Christian, you'd say, there is. you know what I'm talking about. If a little kid comes up after watching Peter Pan and says, "I wish I could fly, I wish I could never grow old." If you're not a Christian, you say, "Yeah, me too." But if you are a Christian, you say, "Yeah, well, we won't have to. We won't have to grow old, and we will fly." And you might say, "Well, that's pretty sweet." No, it's not just sweet. It's not just excellent. Here, is a great divide right here. You don't just need God in the center of your heart. You need a story in the center of your heart, and that's the story of the gospel. One of my favorite Christian choruses is the song by a Canadian band, so you've probably never heard this song. It's by a Canadian Christian band called Hocus Pick, called I Believe. And I think it really encompasses what I believe, which is probably why I like the song. And I'm going to read the lyrics to the song, and then I'm going to play, not me, a recording, the song. And I just want you to reflect as I read the words, and as the song plays, I'll ask you to bow your heads or close your eyes or something like that, to really reflect, to think about, what do I believe? If you're a Christian, what do I really believe? And if you're not a Christian, to really consider, well, what do I believe? And does it bring me joy? So here are the words, here are the lyrics. What other reason would I need to give? Oh, 'cause I've found the reason why I want to live. It's for him who gave his own life that I might find peace. So I sing for joy as I sing with this song, because freedom was foreign when I lived in the wrong. But it's here now, and I sing for the joy that it brings. Oh, singing, oh, I believe in God's only Son. Now I am not haunted by the sins of my past, for the chains have been broken, and now I'm free at last, just to live in the grace of my God, in liberty free. So look into the story, and then you will see why the cross that I'm wearing means something to me. It's for love, the love of the Father that's given to us. Oh, won't you sing? Sing out. I believe, oh, I believe in God's only Son. Singing, I believe in God's only Son. So I'm going to ask for the song to be playing. I ask you all to just bow your heads or close your eyes and just to think and reflect on what is it that you believe.
What other reason would I need to give? Oh, 'cause I found the reason why I want to live. It's for him who gave his own life that I might find peace. So I sing for joy as I sing with this song, because freedom was foreign when I lived in the wrong. But it's here now, and I sing for the joy that it brings. Oh, 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 singing, oh. The sins of my past, the chains have been broken, and I'm free at last, just to live in the grace of my God, in liberty free. So look into the story, and then you will see why the cross that I'm wearing means
something to me. It's for love, the love of the Father is given to us. Oh, won't you sing, sing out.
I know what I believe. I believe in this congregation because I believe in the gospel. I believe we can do great and amazing things this year. Yes? Anyone else think that? I think that. I believe that with the innermost being of my being. There are obstacles this, disappointments that, there are frustrations this, and lameness that. But I believe at the end of the day, the gospel has the power to trump everything. I believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's what I believe. What do you believe? Is the question you should be asking. Let us close in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for your gospel. I thank you for your word. We believe in that you guide this church, Lord. We believe that you protect this church. And I pray that you will continue to guide us so that we can do many and awesome things here in the Auckland CBD in New Zealand. Pray that you would guide all of us here. Thank you for those here who are visiting or who may not be Christians, Lord. I thank you for bringing them here, Lord, and that you're already working a mighty act in their hearts. I pray that you would guide those here that who are Christians, Lord, that you would constantly remind us that we have a joy in you. I pray that you would guide this church. You would guide me. And I thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.